Seated. Again, to remind you, when we come upon the Advent season, I prepare a series of messages for you, and we have an overarching theme, the theme for this Advent, preparations for His coming. We saw that we first went to the Gospel of Luke. It is Luke's Gospel that gives us the most thorough picture of the Annunciation and the preparation that we saw last week. The forerunner, John the Baptist, the one who was called the Elijah to come. 400 years of silence. And then we see, and by the way, there was a young man that knew. You know, Hayden got it right. As he went out, he said, "The angel is Gabriel." That was right, Hayden. Well done. It's the angel Gabriel. He appeared to Daniel. And in the vision that was given to Daniel, you have the image of the coming of Christ eventually. The Christ who would be the one who would establish an eternal kingdom. And so today, we look at another provision. The provision of the maidservant, the one through whom Jesus received a human body as God fashioned it within her womb. So let's turn to the Gospel of Luke once again, chapter 1 and verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered, "What kind of greeting might this be?" But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How can this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Beloved, the word of God. Thanks be to God. Gabriel's greeting and message to Mary, the Annunciation, as it is called, was a favorite subject of painters, especially Renaissance artists, who depicted the scene with a winged angel, cherubs, and a demure, haloed Mary, surrounded by all these various symbols of her purity. Now, if you look at the painting that I've put for you on the cover of the bulletin, this painting was done by Henry Osawa Tanner. It is realistic in nature, with the angel Gabriel represented as a sliver of light. While I believe that light might have flooded Mary's bedroom, I do believe that Gabriel appeared as a human man. Nonetheless, I can appreciate Tanner's depiction of Mary. She has a fearful, puzzled look on her face, and that is why I chose this image of the maidservant Mary. Now, Henry Tanner was the son of a pastor, and he lived in the mid-19th century. He was born in Pittsburgh, and his family moved to Philadelphia. And when he was a young man, 13 years old, he fell in love with the arts, and he longed to pursue his passion. He wanted to be a painter. But his father objected, and so he went to work. He was an apprentice at a flour mill, which taxed his weak constitution and health. And so he was sent home, where he recuperated. But while at home, he pursued his passion of painting. He finally found a man who would teach him, Thomas Eakins, who, by the way, had a place here in Fairton. But Thomas Eakins in Philadelphia trained him. It seemed that he was the only instructor who would take a black student. Though his work excelled the work of others, he had difficulty showing and selling his work in Philadelphia because of racist tendencies. And so he moved to Paris, where his work received the acclaim that it deserved. God gave to Henry Tanner a special gift, and he used it and improved upon it despite all the obstacles before him. Can you imagine the obstacles that faced young Mary, the incredible obstacles, because now she would be, basically, though she was betrothed to Joseph, she became a single mother. And can you imagine what was going through her mind and what would have been going through Joseph's mind and the people around her? Despite how her condition seemed to others around her, she yet trusted God. And when you compare her response to Zechariah, remember Zechariah, the priest, the man who had knowledge of the scripture and knowledge of women who were given babies in their older age or supernaturally, so it seemed. Young Mary, when the angel explained how it would happen to her, she believed it. And she said, "May it be to me as you have said." She gave herself to the Lord God in faith and loving service. Brothers and sisters, would that we would cry out with Mary, "May it be to me as you have said, for the Lord has called all of us, not just to salvation in Christ, but to serve him wholeheartedly at whatever our hand finds to do, whether it be painting like Henry Tanner or something so profound as bearing the Christ into this broken and fallen world." This Advent, renew your dedication to him and give yourself without reservation to the true and living God to serve him in faith and in love. Let's consider this angelic messenger in the sixth month, and that was the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. But in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. As we have said, Gabriel is mentioned by name four times in the scriptures. Twice he appears to Daniel, and he interprets a vision and then gives the prophecy of the 70 weeks of years, or 490 years, a time frame wherein, at the end, Christ would come and accomplish his work. This message of God, this messenger of God, appeared to Zechariah, again, the preparation of the forerunner, the one who would go before the Christ, you know, the Elijah, as Malachi predicted, who was going to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers and the fathers to the children. In other words, he would lead the way of preparation for the coming message of the gospel of Christ. And what was his message? Repent! Make straight the way for the Lord. And so this messenger came to him at the time of that event, You know, we see Elizabeth 6 months pregnant now, where Mary goes and we see that she is cousin to Elizabeth. And where is it that Gabriel is dispatched after that? I want you to think about it. Did Gabriel go to some amazing city? You know, Jerusalem? No. Where did the angel go? Where did God send Gabriel? To Nazareth, a city that was once part of the northern kingdom, the kingdom of pagan idolatry from its inception. Nazareth, a center for Gentiles. And you know how the apostles thought of Nazareth. You remember that? The Christ was going to come from Nazareth. And what was the response? I believe it was Andrew. Can anything good come from Nazareth? And so to Nazareth, Gabriel goes. And William Hendrickson, he comments on the character of the angels. He says, Scripture everywhere stresses the holiness of the good angels, their unqualified surrender to God's will, as with solemn and rapturous adoration they stand in His awesome presence, instantly ready to carry out His orders. Ready to do thy will is ever their motto. We read in Psalm 103, where we, in verse 20, praise the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His bidding, who obey His word. Praise the Lord, all His heavenly hosts, you servants who do His will. And in this mysterious and powerful angel, we have the example of what we should be willing to do. The attitude of our hearts should be ready to do thy will, O Lord. Let me read verse 28 of a troubling greeting. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. And we read, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Now think about it. She's a young girl. A lot of speculation on her age. You know, some say as young as 13. That's hard to imagine. But a young teenage girl. And can you imagine just the shock of a brightly covered man entering her bedroom? Just the fact of a man entering the room and at night, and this one that comes likely brilliantly shining, reflecting the glory and the holiness of God. Gabriel must have been a dazzling being. You remember Zechariah, when he saw the angel, he cowered in fear. I imagine Mary had that same fear. We call that the trauma of the holy. In other words, when the holiness of God is revealed to us, it's traumatic because our sin is revealed to us more clearly. And so Mary was fearful. But note this. It was the greeting. It was his words that were frightening to Mary. What kind of greeting might this be? She was troubled at his words. Well, these words weren't troubling. And of course, the angel, the blessed, when men and women have experienced the holiness of God, how wonderful to hear that message. Be not afraid. Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. To be highly favored by God is to receive His grace. You know, the euphemism that we have in the Aaronic benediction, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord turn His face towards you and grant you His peace. That's a sign of God's favor, that God is looking upon you and wanting to confer upon you peace, not anxiety, not fear, but peace, peace that comes through the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine that when God comes to such a one, though they are a sinner, to give some gift. And what gift could God give to Mary? You know, perhaps Mary was troubled wondering what God would do with her and for her. Verse 31, you'll be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. And that name in the Hebrew, Yahshua, meaning the Lord saves. It's the Lord who saves his people, not we ourselves. Now, we know that there are questions that arise. And can you imagine? You wonder the step of faith that this young woman took. And you wonder, why did not God send the angel to Joseph first? Joseph, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to your beloved and your betrothed Mary. I'm going to fashion a child within her womb, though she has not known a man. And this child will be the Christ, my promised Christ. Can you imagine? That would have been nice, wouldn't it, if God sent the angel to Joseph first. But he sent the angel to Mary. And Joseph had questions. He planned to divorce her quietly. Now, according to the Old Testament law, she could have been stoned as an adulteress because she was betrothed to Joseph. And he was going to put her away quietly, divorce her. That's what is meant. Understand that the relationship between Joseph and Mary was an arranged marriage. It was arranged by likely Mary's parents. And we know little, if anything, about her family, other than they too likely were descendants of David. And in one drama that we attempt to fill in the blank left by God is the record of Joseph's arrangement with the parents. We don't know what happened. We just know that Mary was much younger than Joseph. And it wasn't uncommon to call such a couple husband and wife at that time. And so imagine when Joseph hears word that Mary is pregnant. How would you feel? There had to be that sense of burning anger. How could you do this to me? How could you betray me like this? Mary was troubled. What would she be required to do? And why was she chosen? It would be a formidable task, but God chose her, and she responded in faith. The means to God's end. Mary wonders, how will this be? How will this be? Because I've not been with a man. Lord, how will you accomplish this? This is a natural question. It's not a question of unbelief, but how will you do this? That's a fair question. And the angel answered that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the one to be born will be called the Son of God. This is truly an amazing thing, the incarnation. That is the flesh that was made for the Lord Jesus Christ in the womb of Mary. Did you see the passage in Hebrew? A body you prepared for me. Read the call to worship. God prepared that body by the power of the Holy Spirit. And again, you say, yes, it's a miracle. And we've never seen a virgin birth. Yeah, come on. But God, the Creator, has the right. And in fact, He reveals Himself by superseding the natural laws that He has created. And the reason why Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary was because He was both God and man. And to that true divinity, a true humanity needed to be added. It was necessary. It was necessary, absolutely necessary, that our Redeemer have a true humanity so that He might pay the penalty for your sin, the penalty that you and I deserve for our rebellion. Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. That's how we all do it. How are you going to do anything for the true and the living God? Oh, yes, God will sometimes use natural talents that we have, a talent for painting, for music, for art, for service. He'll use those natural talents, but he also hones them. As you give those gifts of your talents to him, he will use them for his glory. You see, a lot of times people look at the professional clergy. Well, that's Pastor Mike's job, to share the gospel message. No, no. My task is to encourage you, equip you, pray for you, that you might go out from this place and do the work of ministry. That you serve, even as Mary was given the opportunity to serve. She gave of herself. May it be to me as you have said. I want to close, and I know I've shared this story before. It's one of my favorite stories. I remember reading it when I was in elementary school. $1.87, that was all. And 60 cents of it was pennies. Pennies saved one and two at a time by bulldozing the grocer and the vegetable man at the butcher until one's cheeks burned with silent imputation of parsimony that such close dealing implied. Three times Delia counted it. $1.87, and the next day would be Christmas. So begins O. Henry's story, The Gift of the Magi. And according to the story, Delia and Jim Dillingham, a young married couple, very poor, they long to give to one another gifts for Christmas, but they are short on resources. So Delia, she enters a store that manufactures and sells wigs, and she sells her beautiful long hair for $20. And then after the haircut, with glee, she goes to shop for a gift for her husband, and she finally settles on a fine chain, a gold chain, for his watch, his precious watch that was a gift handed down from grandfather to father to him. Well, Jim is excited too when he comes home. He comes home with a gift for his wife, a beautiful set of combs for her hair that is gone. Oh, what did you do to your hair? Well, it'll grow back quickly, she says. And she's eager to give him her gift. And she says, Jim, give me your watch. I have a gift for you. And he looks down and he says, I don't have the watch anymore. I sold my watch to buy the combs for your hair. The moral of the story, though foolish in giving away their two prized possessions, they are truly wise, like the Magi who came to worship Jesus and brought gifts for him. Wise in that they sacrificed of themselves to give to the other. That's the true character of giving that is motivated by the Holy Spirit of God, that we sacrifice of ourselves. Mary gave herself to be the maidservant of the Lord and to bring into this world, despite derision, shame, and all the obstacles before her, she brought the Christ into the world that we might know life eternal. And I tell you this, in truly giving of yourself for others, there you will find blessing. The scripture tells us, he who seeks his life, that is, the person who's always trying to grab for himself selfishly, that person, the scripture says, will lose his life. But he who loses his life, Jesus says, for my sake and the gospel, he will find it. That's where true life is experienced, in the giving of ourselves to God and then to one another in service of our great Redeemer. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would help us to learn this lesson. And help us, Father, to give of ourselves. May it be as you have said, Father, to us, that we are your servants to show love and compassion and kindness and to use the talents you've given us, whether it be artistic, creative, or helps or service in some way. Lord, help us to give of ourselves for your glory and for the building up of your church. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.